All right, we're over here about seven lines from the bottom, three words in on the line of the word chovitz. So the Gemara switches topic, pivots completely to the discussion of bari menei mezonos. So over here, the Gemara talks about chovitz kedera. Chovitz kedera is a kind of grain dish that's cooked together with oil and honey. So the Gemara says, chovitz kedera v'chein daisa. Daisa is crushed grain. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shahakon yeh b'dvaro. The crushed grain is also cooked. Rabbi Yehuda says the bracha is shahakon yeh b'dvaro. Rav Kahana Omar, Rav Kahana says, bari menei mezonos, the bracha is bari menei mezonos. But daisa, if it's just crushed grain, greda by itself, kuli amaloi pligi, everyone agrees, the bari menei mezonos, the bracha is bari menei mezonos. Ki pligi, but daisa kein chavetz kedera. They're talking about, the machlekes is, if it's crushed grain that's similar to chavetz kedera, meaning if it's mixed with oil and honey. If it's mixed with oil and honey, so the shaila is, which is the ikar and which is the tafil? So over here on the first white line, the Gemara continues with Yehuda Amar Shahako. Rabbi Yehuda holds the bracha Shahako, Savar Duvsha Ikar. He holds, what is the Ikar in this mixture? In the mixture of the cooked grain together with the oil and the honey, the Ikar is the honey. What's the bracha on honey? The bracha on honey, Shahako Niyabedvaro. Rav Kahana Omar, Rav Kahana says, no, Bari my name is Zainus. The bracha is Bari my name is Zainus. And this is, it seems to me like a farina type thing, which people mix with honey and oil and whatever. So Rav Kahana Omar, Bari my name is Zainus. The bracha on this farina dish. It's bari menei mezonos. So Avar smei the ikar. He holds the grain is the ikar. So one holds the ikar is the honey in the dish. The other holds the ikar is the grain. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says chavasi the Rav Kahana mistabra. Rav Kahana's position is more compelling. The Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, both Rav and Shmuel agree. Kol sheyesh bo mechameshes haminim. Anything that has one of the five grains in it, that's wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Mevarchin alav bari menei mezonos. You always make the bracha of bari menei mezonos. Now the Gemara here is assuming that we're familiar with a rule that comes up later on in the Mishnah, I think, men dalet and beis, of ikar and tofel. We know about this just from living Jewish life, but it is a mission over here. Mem dalet and beis. The Mishnah talks about mem dalet that if you have a mixture where two foods that have different brachas are being eaten together, you make the bracha on the ikar, and that exempts the tofel. So, example, yogurt. Yogurt sometimes has fruit in it. They used to have in the bottom of the yogurt fruit. So the fruit would be bari pri eitz. The yogurt would be shahakol niyabedvaro. The ikar over here is clearly the yogurt. So therefore, the bracha would be shahakol, and that would exempt
the higher bracha,
or the different bracha, correct. Another example would be bananas and cream. So you're having bananas with, I don't know, some sour cream. So the sour cream shahakol, the bananas bari pri hadama. You're going to make a bari pri hadama and exempt. Yeah, apart from a shahakol. And this rule of ikar and tafel is completely subjective. Completely subjective. Whatever for you is the ikar here. Whatever for you is the tafel, is the tafel. There is no kind of rhyme or reason. It's completely subjective up to a person. So let's say a person's having stuffed cabbage. For him, the ikar is the cabbage. So then the bracha is by priyadamba. For him, the ikar is the meat. So then the bracha will be shahakol niyabedvaro. If, let's say, though, there is no ikar. I want both of them. I don't prefer one over the other. I like the whole thing. So then the rule in the Paiskim is you follow roiv, whatever roiv is. So let's say you're having a fruit salad. You want everything that's in the fruit salad. Some of the things in the fruit salad are bari pri adama. Some of the things in the fruit, a pineapple, a cantaloupe. Some of the things in the fruit salad are bari pri eitz. It could be other things, a mango or things. So then which bracha prevails? So if you want tafka one over the other, then that bracha would prevail. But if there is no ikar, you know, necessarily, then we revert to roiv. So if roiv of the mixture is bari pri adama, which is usually the case because that's cheaper fruit anyway. So if the roiv would be bari pri adama, so then it would be bari pri adama. If roiv would be bari pri eitz, then the bracha would be bari pri eitz. So let's say there is no mamish, no ikar, and it's completely equal. Completely equal. So then you're stuck. It's a problem. Sometimes you might have to make two brachas. Yeah. So that was the old debate, the old conundrum of raisinettes. What's the ikar in the raisinette? So some Paiskim said, you know, that it's a chocolate-covered raisin. Some Paiskim said the ikar is the chocolate. Some Paiskim said the ikar is the raisin. And so Rav Moshe has a famous Shuvinigris Moshe. Rav Moshe says you can't determine which is the ikar. There is no kind of roiv over here. So you make two brachas. You have bite a little bit of the chocolate. You should make bari pri eitz first, but you can't get to the raisin before the chocolate. It's covered in chocolate. So first you make a shahak on the chocolate, and then you make on the raisin. Others felt, no, here, dafka, you should make a bari pri eitz. Why? Very strong argument. They quote the name of Bayasha, because chocolate is really comes from a bean that grows on a tree. And the main product of that tree is that bean. I don't know how it's pronounced, but whatever. I'll mispronounce it. But you all know what I'm talking about. So that cocoa bean or cocoa, whatever it's called, so that bean is the main fruit of the tree, should have been brought Bria Eitz. And how is that being usually consumed? In the form of chocolate. So if you don't consume it in an abnormal way, that's actually the way that it's normally consumed. So then just like a potato, you make Bria Pri Adama only if it's eaten cooked. The way this is produced and the way that it's consumed is as chocolate. So the bracha should have been Bria Pri Adama all along. So if you have a raisinette, the bracha on both of them should have been Bria Pri Adama. So the truth of the matter is, of course, we know the custom is on chocolate, you make a shahako. But since over here, right, if a shy with a raisinette, Rabbi Yasha felt that the bracha should be a Bria Pri Adama. So it won't help you for chocolate covered peanuts and chocolate covered, whatever it is. Peanuts are Bria Pri Adama. Lamaisa, we got the rule of Iker and Tafel. Whatever is subjectively the Iker prevails. If there's no Iker necessarily, one prefers, likes both of them equally, so then you would follow Rive. If there's no Rive, so then we have a problem.
So
anyway.
If you eat in fruit salad, but eat, separate them, make two brachas. So
you could. Why would you, though?
But you separate them.
You could.
But you separate them. Won't be a shot.
No, I mean separate.
Correct.
You take a banana.
It's a mixture.
Correct. So Iker and Tafel comes in two varieties. There is, if it's one unit, obviously, then you're going to have to be forced to make a bracha. But even if they are distinguishable versus indistinguishable, even if it's, certainly the classic case would be it's indistinguishable. If it is distinguishable, so then you have the option of making two brachas. Better would be to make one and have an Iker and a Tafel.
Bananas and cream. You take a spoon, there's only cream on it. You have to make a bracha then?
If you're eating them together,
if
I have chicken on one plate on the plate and I have rice also, you don't say, well, I only make a bracha on the rice and that exempt. They're two separate items completely just because they happen to be on the same plate. So the bananas and cream, if it's two separate items that I happen to be eating together. If it's mixed together, so then
you
make
it. Take a spoonful, there's no banana on it. There's just cream on it.
No, but that's the tuffel to the banana. It's tough. Exactly, that's the point. Huh?
Why is a food salad considered together?
Because it's eaten together. It's generally eaten together. You're usually eating together. Fruit salad is called fruit salad. You usually eat it together. Yes, correct.
Sushi
is an enormous problem. Huge problem.
Some people like the rice, some people like the fish, right?
Nobody.
It's impossible to figure out what the Iker and the Tafel is, so you're going to be stuck.
It's subjective.
Yeah. So you could, if you could break it apart. Yeah, completely subjective. Completely subjective. But sushi, you probably want everything. So now you're stuck.
But it's subjective. It's whatever everyone wants.
It's whatever you want. Let's say you want everything.
Right. Let's say you don't.
You don't want just the rice. You don't want just the seaweed. Yeah, it's a problem. Sushi is an enormous problem. Because of this.
Why
because of this. Because it's unclear what you want.
What do you mean? I know what
the
I want.
Person himself.
So it's not subjective.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to figure out. Oh, we didn't even get the first base yet. All right. Rabbi Zai. So getting back. This is generally the rule. This is generally what the rule with most mixtures. That's the Mishnah later on, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. There's a lot of Lomdas and Iker and Tafel. If we ever get up to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, hopefully Mishnah, we will. We'll delve into it at that time. However, the Gemara here is stating that there is an exception to that rule of Iker and Tafel, and that is if it's Chameshus Mine Dagan. If you have one of the grains is part of that mixture, so then the bracha is always Bari Mine Mizona. So even if, let's say over here in this mixture, this wheat farina or whatever, grain cereal, the Iker might actually be, you might actually prefer the honey over the grain. It doesn't matter. Whenever grain is part of the picture, grain always prevails and always warrants the bracha Bari Mine Mizona, and that exempts. And that exempts everything else. That's what emerged from this Gemara. That's the statement that Rav and Shmuel both agree to. And that's what the Gemara goes on to analyze in the next sugya. So we'll go over here at the end of the two, after the two dots, the Gemara goes on. Gufa, Rav and Shmuel, Dami Tarvayu, Kol sheyesh b'mechamesh haminim, b'varchim el bari minei mezonis. Anything that has in it, contains, one of the chamesh haminim, you always make a bari minei mezonis. What would that mean? Example, cholent. Cholent has barley. There's potatoes, there's beans, there's meat. But once it has barley, and that, most of the people, the Iker probably is not the barley, meaning that's not what they prefer. The cholent, if you would take a top three things that you like in the cholent, the Mount Rushmore of cholent, I don't think most people's barley.
That's what the people
yeah, some people like barley, very good. So the Maisa, if that is your Iker, great. But even if it's not, the bracha on cholent is always going to be, unless you have big potatoes that stick out like icebergs, so that's something separate, something different, distinct. But if it's all part of the same mixture, so then it would be Bar Minei Mezonis. So the Gemara continues, Itmanami, Rav Shmuel also said, Amitavai, anything that's from the five grains, so not only if it's part of a mixture, you have one of the five grains in front of you intact, you also make a bari minei mezonis. Well, that statement seems to be redundant. If a mixture contains any bit of the chamesh aminim, you make a bari minei mezonis. Certainly in the chamesh aminim themselves, the brach would be a bari minei mezonis. V'tzricha, no, we needed both. The iash rina and kolshu, if we would have said kolshu, anything that's part, one of the chamesh aminim dagon, have amina, I would have thought mishum de ise be'enei. That's because it's intact. If it gets part of a mixture, it's like everybody else. Get in line. If you're the Iker, you got the Baruch. If not, you're Botel. You're the Tofel. It wouldn't always prevail. Kamash Malon. Therefore, we needed the second statement. Kol Sheyesh Boy. Anything that has, contains any bit of the Chameshus Minei Dagon, always gets the Baruch HaBoy Minei Mizonis. V'iyash Mu'ina. And if you would have told me, Kol Sheyesh Boy, anything that contains, you know, an ingredient of the Chameshus Minei Dagon, Hav Amina Kol Sheyesh Boy Chameshus Aminim in, only if it contains some of the chameshus haminim, then you make a bar minim zaynis. Aval oires v'doichen, but rice and millet. Millet is a kind of grass seed, which also can be compared. It's a starch. It could also be compared to kind of a, like a rice. It acts like a grain somewhat. So aval oires v'doichen loy mishum da'idei taruvis, because it's part of a mixture. Aval isay. So when we said kol sheyesh boy make chameshus haminim, make a bar minim zaynis, that implies oires v'doichen not. Meaning, if it's part of a mixture, they don't get bar minim zaynis. Oh, but if they are alone and isolated, they would get a bracha bar minim zaynis. And that's not true. And Rav and Shmuel don't agree to that. Aval isay be'ema ene neima afilu oires v'doichen nami v'varchen le bar minim zaynis on the fifth line. So kamash malan. Therefore, Rav and Shmuel taught us both statements. Kol shemei chameshus haminim, hu d'mavarchel b'ar minei mezoynis. Anything shemei chameshus haminim, you make a b'ar minei mezoynis. La fuke, to exclude arz v'doichin. Rice and millet, do not get a b'ar minei mezoynis. Da filo ise be'enei, lo mavarchel b'ar minei mezoynis. So that's what Rav and Shmuel are coming to teach us. The chameshus haminim get a b'ar minei mezoynis, not arz v'doichin. And chameshus haminim are different, that if they're part of a mixture, they always win the battle for the ikar and the tofel. The bracha always goes to the chameshus haminim. So the Gemara debates this issue of Eretz V'Doichen. So the Gemara says, Eretz V'Doichen, lo mevarchen le bar minei mezoynis? What? You don't make a bar minei mezoynis on rice and millet? V'hatanya, but you have a brisa. Heviu lefanav pas Eretz, they brought before you rice bread, upas doichen, or millet bread. Mevarchen alav tchilo v'soif. You make a bracha before and after? Kim aysa kedera. Like something that's from the grains. V'gabi maisa kedera, and by maisa kedera, Tanya, and by things that are made with grains, we learned in a brisa, b'tchil mavarchay bar minei mezoynis, at the beginning, you make a bar minei mezoynis, because that bread, hamaitzi is only bread, mikol makom, u'l b'soif mavarchay bracha achat mein shalosh. Afterwards, you're going to make a bracha of mein shalosh. Now, even though we're talking about bread of rice and bread of doichin, this brisa's view is the most it could get to is a bar minei mezoynis and a mein shalosh. But it's not shahakol. Before, the opinion of Rav and Shmuel was, Chamei Shaminim, Bar Minim Mezoynis, Oires and Doichin, Ashahako. Here, this Bryce is saying, no, the Bryce is saying, Oires and Doichin, you make a Bar Minim Mezoynis and a main Shalosh, Kim Maisa Kedera, like a grain product or dish that gets Bar Minim Mezoynis and main Shalosh. Sigmar says, Kim Maisa Kedera, but like Maisa Kedera. No, it's like Maisa Kedera, but not exactly like Maisa Kedera. Kim Maisa Kedera, the Mavar Chanelov, Tchilov, is safe. No, the Gemara is Doicha the Braisa. The Braicha doesn't mean that it's like Maisa Kedera, that it gets a Bar Minim Mizoynis and a main Shalosh. It just means you get a Bracha before and a Bracha after. What is the Bracha before? Shahako. What's the Bracha after? Bar Nefoshes. So Kim Maisa Kedera, but like Kim Maisa Kedera. The Mavar Chanelov, Kim Maisa Kedera, the Mavar Chanelov, Tchilov, is safe. You make a bracha before and after. V'loy k'maisa kedera, and it's not like maisa kedera that you were maisa kedera, but tchilo bar minim mezoynis, v'soif bracha achas mein shalosh. So by grains, you make bar minim mezoynis, then mein shalosh. Here, shahako, and then bar nefoshes. V'yil haka b'tchilo, mevarech alav shahako, and yil b'dvaro, u'besoif bar nefoshes, v'chesreinam, alko moshe bara. Fine. Then the Gemara seems to we seem to be okay. Ariz and we're bothered by it a little bit that Ariz and Doichin should be Shahako. We thought maybe we had a Brisa that supported its Mezoynis and Alamichya, but we're back now that no, it's the whole thing is Shahako and Bar Nefoshes. But then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says,
Why wouldn't you make Bar Nefoshes? Everything is Bar Nefoshes.
Oh, yeah.
What's special about Maisik there? That there's both of the Panel.
It's any bar minei mezoynis product. It just means cooked mezoynis as opposed to raw grain. The Gemara didn't have objects that weren't. It's possible bekistin or something that's not pas. The Gemara is avoiding the word pas because we want to talk about grain products that are not bread. So we don't want to get involved in the bread discussion yet. So it's calling it maisa kedera, which means a kugel. Things that have grain in it, but clearly not bread. And that's why we're focusing on that.
Till now, we didn't speak about bracha achronin, anything that is done.
Correct. It's the first time bracha achronin is coming up. Yeah, yeah. And we're being introduced to bar nefashos for the first time. That's why it's brought up here. Okay, va'oyrez, but we're going to see there's a lot more in bar nefashos that's happening here. But va'oyrez, la maisa kedera, is that true? Rice doesn't get a bar minei mezoynis. It's not the same as a cooked grain dish. Va'atan, we're going to the brisa, elohen maisa kedera. These are maisa kedera, meaning these are cooked thing, you know, dishes that seem to be all the same. Chilka, Targis, Soilis, Zoris, Va'arsin, those are all grain things. I'm not sure what they are, but they're all grain dishes. Ve'oires, and what's part of the list? Oires, rice is the Maisa Kedera. Sigmar says, Hamani, who is this? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds. You're right. You're right. Oires and Deichen are not only Mizoinis and Main Shalish, Alamichia, it's Hamaitzi and Benching. The sign, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Oimer, Oires min Dogan who? Oires is a kind of grain. V'chayav and Achimutzei Kares. V'adam Yoisei Yidei Choyvasu v'Pesach. Oires and Deichen is Chametz on Pesach, and you could use it even for matzah. Alva Rabbanan loy, but the Rabbanan disagree. Then the Gemara is going to go on to say the Rabbanan even agree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or maybe we'll get to that next time. Not really relevant for now. But anyway, what we have over here is a machlekes tanoim, certainly a machlekes and the Gemara struggle back and forth. What is the bracha on Erez V'doichen? One possibility came up was that it should be Shahakol and Bar Nefoshes. That was the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. The other opinion the Gemara brought up is that maybe she Bar Minim Zaynis and Alamichya. Now we're discussing maybe it's one of the Chameshes Minei Dagan. It's one of the, there's more Minei Dagan. It's a kind of Dagan. You could even use it for Matzah and be Chai for Chametz on Pesach. The Gemara is going to settle, actually not in this little sugya, but in the next one, on some sort of a compromise, which is our practice today, that you make a Bar Minim Zaynis, but there's no Alamichya. Bar Minim Zaynis, but no Alamichim. We'll have to explain what that's all about. But what's going on over here? And in order to understand this discussion of Erez V'doichen, I think we need to take a step back. Why is it Kol Sheyesh V'Mechamech Tzaminim always warrants the bracha Bar Minim Zaynis? Usually we have a rule, Iker and Tofil. Subjective, Roiv, whatever is the determining factor, that's the rule. The exception to the rule is Chamesh Minei Dagan. Why? Why Chamesh Minei Dagan different? And then what's the debate about Erez V'doichen? So over here, the Rishonim have two svaras as to why Chamesh Minei Dagan are different. But it's helpful to think about it in these terms. When we say Chamesh Minei Dagan, always gets anything that contains Chamesh Minei Dagan. So if it has flour in it, it's going to be a bracha, Bar Minei Mizaynis. Is that because it's the universal Ikar? Meaning, Chamesh Minei Dagan are Choshuv. And therefore, since it's Choshuv, in whatever mixture it finds itself, it always, you know, is the biggest name here. So it is always the Ikar, it's the universal Ikar. Perhaps because it's one of the Shivas Haminim, Shinashabchim Eretz Yisrael, the Pesukim Parshas Ekev, Eretz Chito Sa'ira, Gefen Te'ein of Arimon. The first two are Chito Sa'ira, wheat and barley, but of course that's representative of all the Chameshes Minei Dagan. So all the Chameshes Minei Dagan are mentioned first in the Pesuk, that's the most Choshuv even of the Shivas Haminim, so it's one of the Shivas Haminim, it's Choshuv. Or maybe it's not because it's Choshuv in this, you know, mixture, it's always the Ikar, it's because even though it's the Tofel, you can't ignore it when it comes to the bracha. It's not the Ikar. It's not the Ikar. But it contributes the most to the person. It's the most sustenance. The Pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, Loi al halechem levado yichya adam. A person doesn't only live on bread, but you certainly do live on bread. It's a staple of life. So since over here this is a staple, it's an essential food item, provides sustenance, whether it's a starch and a carbohydrate, and that contributes to it. It's not Ikar. It's not because it's the Ikar.
But you're making it Ikar.
You can't ignore it. You have over here a bar mitzvah. There's a chashav rav who's here. He's not speaking, and he's not family. You got to acknowledge him. You got to. You have the gadol ador here. How are you going to say nothing? So he's not the ikar. It's not about him today's party, but you got to acknowledge him. He always going to get an acknowledgement. Put it into your terms. So over here also, the bracha is... Yeah, good the terms, yeah. The bracha is... It goes bar minim zaynis. Not because it's the ikar here. It's not the ikar. It's not, you could say it's always the Iker. It's the most chashuv wherever he goes. He's the most chashuv. Or maybe it's nothing to do with chashivas. He's the Iker. It's just, it provides sustenance. It's Zion, and therefore it demands a bracha. Because once you make one bracha on the taruvis, that's it. You see from the rule of Iker and Tufa, one bracha for the whole thing, if it's eaten together. Which one wins? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's going to get the Hadron goes to him. That's what happens. Yeah.
A lot of honey and a little bit of the flour, and doesn't change the
bracha.
It's
Shaffer. It's Mezinus. Chavetz Kedera is Mezinus. It's Mezinus. No, no, but then the Gemara says, we pass like Rav Kahana because Rav and Shmuel both said, Kol Sheyesh V'Chamesh Minim. Correct. Correct. Sorry, the question is it treated as the Ikar? or it's just it provides so much here you just can't ignore it? Meaning, is it because it's kosher it becomes the ikar, or no, it's not because it's kosher it becomes the ikar, you can't ignore it because it's zayin? So the Torah actually quotes, well, that's a chakira bo yashavet. Lemaisa is just a way, helpful way of thinking that to see that these are really two separate things. But either way, the Torah blends the two. That in order to, you know, this principle functions really based on these two presumptions. And that is the that these chamesh minim are going to have two advantages. Number one, it's chashuv, because it's part of the shivus haminim. Number two, is that it provides more sustenance. It's a staple of the meal, much more than cream and bananas and potatoes that are part of your, you know, cholent or potato kugel or something like that. But so it's always going to prevail.
That there's an ikar and a tuftal in a case where it's a binding agent. Where
we'll get to your point. Very good, very good. Okay, very good, very good, very good. We'll get to your point, and we'll get to your point in a second. Very good. Oh. So back to Oriz V'Doichin. What's the shiloh over here with regards to Oriz and Doichin? So Pnei Yeshua says that's exactly the shiloh. Oriz and Doichin only has one of these qualities. It's a staple. It's a starch. But it's not choshuv. It's not one of the shivas haminim. It's not one of the shivas haminim. So therefore, it a little bit has the chashivas, but a little bit doesn't have the chashivas. And in fact, that would help us understand our compromise.
Could it be an ikar?
That would help
could
us.
Could they be an ikar?
It could be an ikar, but it, all it has is zon. All it has that sustaining quality to it. It's a staple of the meal. It's a starch. But it's not choshuv. So that's our practice. The Pnei Yeshua helps very well with our practice. One second. Our practice is, it gets a bari minim zaynus. Why does it get a bari minim zaynus? Because it's a staple of the meal. It's a starch. Yeah, but when it comes to main shalish, you got to have the credentials. What else gets a main shalish? The Shivas Haminim all get main shalish. This is not one of the Shivas Haminim. So it bows out when it comes to the Shivas Haminim, it gets exposed. Its weakness gets exposed, that it's not choshev. It's a zon, it provides that staple of the meal, but it's not choshev. So when it comes to Shivas Haminim, it has to check out. So Pnei Yehoshua says, this is gevaldik. Pnei Yehoshua says that that's why the Gemara thought, even in the beginning, in the initial stage, Erez and Doichen, when it's part of a Taruvis, nah, it doesn't make it. Doesn't make the cut. It would only have one side over here, Barimene Mezoinus, if it's intact, if it's isolated by itself, Barimene Mezoinus. But at the minute it's part of a Taruvis, nah, the bracha is going to revert to Shachol and the Abed Vero. And in fact, that's the way we paskin. Rebbe Rishon and paskin, like this Havamina the Gemara had. If you have rice in the meat of stuffed cabbage, even if your ikar is the meat and the rice, you don't make a Barimene Mezoinus, because the rice is certainly tuffel to the rest of the meat. If it would be wheat, if it would be a dagon, the koshi yeshu and chamisha meni a dagon would always be bari minim mezoinus. Rice is not like that. Rice, if it's by itself, is mezoinus, part of a mixture. It's like any other tafel. Why? So the Pnei Yehoshua explains, because by itself, it's a staple. But the minute you have vying for the bracha, and it's in a tug of war now, it doesn't have the chashivos, it doesn't have the credentials, the street cred to back it up. It's not one of the shivas haminim. So it folds, it collapses. And therefore, the bracha becomes like everything else. It's like any other ikar and tuffel. Yeah. We'll get to it in a second. Give me a second. Yeah. Okay, that's exactly where we're heading. We need one more piece of information. Yeah?
How do we know
the Gemara Pesachim derives it.
Adam, it doesn't include Dagon also.
It might. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri thinks it does. That's exactly my chalik. We'll talk about it next time. Yeah.
Why wouldn't that resolve the sushi question then? Rice is definitely more kosher than fish.
Is it? I don't want to get involved in this debate.
No, he's saying even if it's not,
maybe the fish
you eat.
The fact that this dog happy to have iris in the mixture.
Ali,
yo, Ter Pri? Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't know. It's like anything else. Get in line.
When I
say it's not.
Kosher, I don't mean I like it better. It's more kosher than food.
No. Rice, when it's part of a mixture, rice is in line with everybody else. Yeah. Rice by itself is bari minim mezoinus. But when it has to start battling other things for bracha, for, you know, vying for significance, rice is like everybody else, gets in line. So that's exactly why sushi is a huge bracha. If sushi would be starch, a chamesh min hadagon, it would always win. But it's not. It's when it comes to a mixture, it gets to the back of the line because it doesn't have the chashivas. Oh. The Ritva over here has an important shita, which we don't paskin like, but it's critical for the next discussion. The Ritva shita is, in order for chamesh min hadagon to keep its bracha mezoinus in the middle of a mixture, it's got to have a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. What is a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras? A pras is a half a kikar, half of a loaf. So that's either three beitzim or four beitzim of hamachlekes rishonim. We know about this from other areas that the shir achilah is you know, everything is mitzvah. If you eat it b'kedei achilas pras, which is either three beitzim or four beitzim, the machlekes apaiskim somewhere between 2 minutes and 9 minutes, whatever it is. We usually hold about 4 minutes. Yom Kippur with machmir that it's 9 minutes. Fine. That's kedei achilas pras. So the Ritva holds, in order for this to have a bracha, a bar minei mezoinis, in the mixture, it's got to have kezayis doga mekdei achilas pras. So what would that mean? That means if you're making potato kugel and you don't have enough wheat flour in there that you have a kezayis mekdei achilas pras in this, you know, in the serving size, you wouldn't make a bar minim mezaynis. It would only be if there's a kezayis dog on there. That's the Ritva Shita. We do not paskin like that in Shulchan Aruch. We paskin if wheat at all is a part of it, bar minim mezaynis. Any one of the chamishas minei dogon. The bi'alacha has a chiddush though. Bi'alacha mishne brura. It's got to taste like wheat. There has to be a wheaty flavor. If it's completely gone, you don't taste it at all, then it's not bar minim mezaynis. Which is why, a lot of times, even dishes that have a little bit of flour, if you don't taste the flour at all, so it doesn't have a kezayis, you know, of achilas pras, wouldn't satisfy the ritva, but if you can't even taste that it's there, so then it wouldn't get the bracha bar minim mezaynis, it would only be the bracha bar minim mezaynis is if you could taste it. Why does the ritva feel you need a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras? The ritva feels because what is the chashivas of the chamesh min hadagan in the first place? Not just because it has street cred, because it's satisfying, it's satiating, it's a staple of the meal. If you don't have a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, it's not a staple, it's not giving you any satiation, it's so minimal. So therefore the ritva believes it loses the bracha bar minim mezaynis. If we don't paskin like the ritva, it's true because we hold by nature it's a staple. And by nature it's chashiv. So it always gets the bracha bar minim mezaynis as long as you can taste it. That's the tzad that the ritva has. So keep that in mind. Move over to over here, Tysus. Tysus over here, Lamavav and Beis mentions what Joseph mentioned. That let's say you add wheat to a mixture, or chamesh min hadagan to a mixture, but it's not for flavor, you know, not for its sustaining factor, you know, not for because it's a staple of the meal. It's only in order to hold it together, for consistency, you know, as a binding agent, for texture. So Tysus here quotes him in Gemara later on, it's Lama Tesimid Aleph. If you put, the Gemara there is talking about a vegetable dish that you add wheat to it, or you add dagan to it. So Gemara says, the brach is bari pri adama. Why? But it has grains. Kol sheyesh mechamesh mina dogon bar minim mezaynis. So the Gemara there says, if it's ledevek ba'alma, it's just to hold it together as a binding agent. Then no. Look at the last four lines of Tosis. Tosis says, ve'im ledevek ba'alma, the bottom Tosis lamavav and beis. It's only there to hold the binding agent, everything together. Ein otzarach levarek bar minim mezaynis. You don't make a bar minim mezaynis. Tosis says that's going to be really hard to tell. It's going to be a huge debate every time this comes up, whether it's there as a binding agent or it's there to contribute substance to the dish. This is the first time that Eitza comes up. Therefore, best to eat it in the middle of a meal so we don't have to worry about what bracha to make on it. You want to have the sushi, have it in the middle of a meal. And therefore, you're exempt.
That's it.
Okay. 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 But we don't know what to do. Sometimes it's going to be a huge debate. So this is Tosis's rule. This is why gefilte fish. Gefilte fish has matzah meal in it. So the cheap gefilte fish has more matzah meal. The expensive gefilte fish has more fish and less matzah meal. What bracha they make in gefilte fish? Shahako. Why? It has matzah meal in it. Yeah, but it's just there, ledevek ba'alma. It's there to hold the fish together. Gefilte fish is shahako ni abedvaro. What about shlishkas? You know what shlishkas are? It's a potato dish.
Breaded.
No, it's made with flour. It could be breaded. Sometimes not breaded, yeah. So, but it's a potato dish. It's a potato dish that's made with a lot of flour. So a lot of people feel that the bracha and shlishkas, it's usually served as part of a meal, but the bracha will be a bar minim mezaynis. Why? Because there, it's not just the devik biyama, it's more. What's a dion? A dion is licorice. What's the story with the licorice? So in a sefer called Makar Bracha, he quotes there that he spoke to... He asked Pashkes, that was the producer of the first kosher licorice, and I think it was run by, at the time, the Hashgacha was given by the OK or something. So he spoke to the one who was giving the Hashgacha and the licorice, who was the head of the OK, named Rebero Levy. And Rebero Levy told him that he asked the Shiloh to Ramosha on behalf of Pashkes, a Bloom packaging company. And Ramosha held that after giving it to one of the Avrechim to taste the licorice, what did it taste like? He felt that he tasted the flour in it, and the bracha should be bar minei mezaynis. So that was the edus of Rebero Levy, who was the first, I believe, the founding Rav Mashgiach of the OK, that the bracha should be bar minei mezaynis. And many held like that. Many held it was bar minei mezaynis. However, in the Brachas book, Rabbi Forrest, that's the art scroll, blue Brachas book, so he quotes there that he did his own research, and he spoke to Hershey's, that make Twizzlers. And they said, no, it's now, do they understand when we go to them with these shilas, why do you put flour in the licorice? Is it for substance? Is it for texture? Is it for flavor? What do you mean when you do it? Do you think they make these kinds of chakiras? They don't, this is their recipe. This is what it is. They don't have alum de chakiras. So it's hard to know if they really understand the question. They said it's just there for body and texture. Now, it's a confectionery. The minute it becomes a wheat product, then it's put with pretzels. They don't want it with the pretzels. They want it with the candies. They're a candy company, so they're kind of biased to say that. But either way, that's what they said, that it doesn't provide flavor, or does it provide body and texture. And then one of the other Achrayim spoke, there's a British confectionery company. I wasn't familiar with the name. Trevor Bassett. I think it's like the equivalent of Hershey's in the UK. Maybe someone knows. Anyway, they also said same thing. So the big companies are saying that they only put it in there for body and texture, and therefore the bracha should be shahako. And then Lamaisa says that's the common custom, is most people make shahako, even though Minkadim is the no. It seems like there was a time in Klal Yisrael's history and our relationship with licorice, which, by the way, is like an ancient, it goes back to a root. Licorice has been a common food item for a long time, but marketed in this way, in this product of licorice, that we, you know, the way we have it, that someone knew, there was a time it was Barim and Mizanis. Today it seemed to be shahako. The bigger issue, the bigger chicken to fry, is not the licorice, it's schnitzel. Schnitzel. What do we say about schnitzel? Schnitzel is chicken that has chameshes mine dugan all around it. What should be the bracha on the schnitzel? So some feel the proper bracha should be bar mineim zaynis. It's got grains all around it. Rabbi Forrest in the Art Scroll official bracha's book believes the proper bracha is bar mineim zaynis. However, Nissen Kaplan in his sefer on the sixth parak of Masechtas Brachos argues, in my opinion, convincingly, that there are three svaras lekula. Three svaras lekula. One is, you don't have a kezias of dagon. The Ritva said you need a kezias of dagon b'kedei achilas pras. How much dagon do you have around this piece of schnitzel? You don't have a kezias b'kedei achilas pras. You don't have that much dagon. We don't pass like the Ritva, it's true, but we pass like the Shulchan Aruch. At least that's the taste like a grainy product. Nah, it tastes like chicken with a breading around it. So it doesn't even satisfy the Shulchan Aruch's equation. But then he quotes a Meiri, fantastic. The Meiri says, let's say I put it in, not to be sustaining, right? Why is Kol Chamesh with Chamesh Samine Dagon always the Iker? Because it, you know, it provides a lot of sustenance. It's Choshev, yes, it's Choshev. It has a track record, it has a resume. But also, it's Chamesh, you know, Shivas Haminim, the Shneshapach Merit Tisha, but it also is a staple of life. But let's say, I'm sorry, so, but it has to have that, you know, that sustain, you have to put it there in order for substance. So Tzai said, if you put it with Devek, Biyama, you put it just there as a binding agent, no, then it loses, it's Bracha, becomes Shahako. What if I put it there just for flavor? Just for flavor. It's not Zon. It doesn't provide the person with sustenance. It's not just a binding agent, it's flavor. So Meiri says, if it's just there for flavor, it also loses the Bracha, Barim, and Amos, Zainis. It's only if it's there to sustain, meaning to give it heft, to make it something that's fulfilling. If it's just there for flavor, that's like being there as a binding agent, and it loses the bracha.
This
Mishnah Berurah is actually says himself about it. Mishnah Berurah is full of contradictions. This in Kaplan does very good research. Mr. Bruce says to himself about this issue in numerous places. Let's say it's just there for flavor. So Nissen Kaplan argues, I don't know, we're not sure about the Meiri, but you put it together with the fact that you don't have a Kazai's Dog and Kadeya Filos Pras. It doesn't really taste very bready, and it's probably just there for flavoring. So he puts it together, and he suggests schnitzel should be shahako, which, by the way, is a common custom. It seems to me that that's correct. By the way, I think another good example of that is Carvel cake. Carvel cake has crunchies inside. The crunchies are Barim and Amos Zaynus. That's the same as the outside of the ice cream sandwich. That should be Barim and Amos Zaynus. What does that mean? Carvel cake is Barim and Amos Zaynus? I can see a guy getting up. It's Barim and Amos Zaynus. Yeah.
Huh? It's not a bit large.
I think it's just there for flavor. They do not want it. They would. I think it's just there for flavor. It's a topping. I don't think.
It's not how we paskin. What's the reason to do that?
If it's a topping on an ice cream sundae, you could always take a little bit, make a bracha by itself, and then go to the ice cream. But over here, in the Carvel sandwich, you don't have the option. The minute you dissect the cake, you're over. So it seems to me, it'd be the same as schnitzel shahako. It seems to me, though, I don't know if we have it over there, pretzel chicken is not the same as schnitzel. Pretzel chicken, there's so much pretzel and so little chicken. It seems to me, pretzel chicken, I mean it seriously, pretzel chicken is mezainis. It's pretzel with a little bit of chicken. Huh? Of course.
But not a pretzel.
So you can't make an acre. So you're saying the same thing as Ramosha. Ramosha talks about, Rabbi said, what's the bracha on pie? Apple pie, cherry pie, a strudel, or blintzes, or knish. We would say it has chamesh mina dogon, should be bar mina mezonis. So Ramosha is a chuvin igros Ramosha. Ramosha says, if you wouldn't eat the crust independently, you're only eating it because of the filling, then the crust is negligible. And it's only shahako or bar priates, whatever's the inside. We do not pass in like Ramosha on this. We all make mezainis on knishes and on pies. And even cheesecake, which just has a thin crust, mezainis. However, Ramosha is saying what you're saying. I'm only eating the crust because of the inside. So I think we could add that as a tzad l'kula to schnitzel, which has many other tzad l'kula too, that Ramosha held if I wouldn't have eaten the crust or the topping alone, then it doesn't warrant the bracha. One the final shaila, huh?
Is that not like the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch, though, he said, as long as it's not binding.
So you're like an art school guy. Look, where four says is schnitzel should be mezainis, and there's a good argument to be made schnitzel should be mezainis, and maybe even the Carvel cake. I think the common custom is shahako, right. So we should try and justify the common custom. Okay. Pretzel chicken, I think, is too far. That was an abuse of schnitzel. I don't think so. One final shaila, huh?
Cheesecake, you might be right with other pies, but cheesecake, there's no cheese in. You have to put something.
There's a
bite. If there are those who make that argument, cheesecake, that the ikar is the cheese, and you just need something to hold it there. It's so that Shulchan Aruch says, if let's say sometimes I don't want to hold the food, I can't put it in my hand, and therefore I put a cracker underneath it, or I put something just to hold the food, then it's no different than a spoon or a fork, and you don't make a bracha on it, which is what you're saying by the cheesecake. You might be 100% right. If that's the case with regards to cheesecake, I don't know, I don't eat cheesecake. But I think people can make an argument that the crust does give time. The crust does give time?
No, you just made a point. What about herring on a cracker?
We'll get to herring on a cracker. Herring on a cracker is way more complicated. All right, one final shot, Rabbi said, because it comes up all the time. One final shot.
Now you just did away with the whole concept.
No.
You did away with the concept.
If it's Devek only, or if it's just for flavor only. If most of the time, it's not just devik, it's not just flavor, it's substance, meaning I want it to be a more hefty, substantial thing. That's usually why you put dagon in things. One final shaila is, this is a rule quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Magen Avraham, that it's only if the two items blend in together to become one. So let's say I have soup with noodles. So the soup and the noodles are not become together to be one dish. If it's one dish, it's all like one item, it's indistinguishable. So then we say, Kol sheyeshmei chameshes minei dogon becomes the ikar, that's to break the bracha mezainis, and that pathers everything else. But that's only if, even though ikar and tuffel applies, even when I'm eating two things together that are distinguishable, this rule, I know it's complicated, but Kol sheyeshmei chameshes minei dogon is only if it's Kol sheyesh boi. In it, there's dogon. Not that I'm eating it together with dogon. It has to be one and the same. Soup and noodles will never be one and the same. So therefore, it always demands two brachas. It will demand a bracha mezainis on the noodles and on the soup. Unless it's a tradition soup. Then it's an old ikar and tuffel. It's like every other ikar and tuffel. I'm not resorting to the rule of kosher yesh mei chamishes mine dogon in order to make mezainis on noodle soup. It is literally the ikar. The soup is about the noodles. There's a little bit of soup there to kind of, you know, to excuse eating so many noodles. So then the bracha would be bar mina mezainis. Ramosha writes the same is true in matzah ball soup. Ramosha's view was matzah ball soup, the ikar is the matzah ball, the soup is there as a hechatinsa, and therefore the bracha is mezainis. If you eat the soup separately from the matzah ball, you have one little matzah ball and a big pot of, you know, bowl of soup, you would make two brachas, mezainis on the matzah ball and the shahako on the soup. The same thing is true with regards to the ice cream sandwich. Ice cream sandwich, it's true, kol sheyesh mei chameshes minim should always be, you know, win out. But that's only if it's kol sheyesh boi. It's embedded in it, they're intertwined, they're indistinguishable. If they are distinguishable, and it's not the ikar, like in noodle soup, so then you make two brachas. So the ice cream sandwich, or Moshe writes in the tshuva, you make a bracha mezainis on the sandwich part, and then a shahako on the ice cream, because the ikar is the ice cream. Same thing with the toppings. On a sundae, mezainis on the Oreo crunch, and then a shahako on the ice cream. Ramesha has, this is fascinating, but Ramesha writes, if you're eating an ice cream cone, everyone grew up with this true for Ramesha, if you're eating an ice cream cone, the ikar is the ice cream, the cone is a hechatimtza. But you're eating the cone, so you should make a mezainis on the cone, like the ice cream sandwich, and then a shahako on the ice cream. But Rav Moshe held, let's say I'm not interested in the cone. It's just the only way I can hold the ice cream, like the cheesecake. One can make the argument the crust of the cheesecake is just to give a hecha timsa to the cheesecake. I can't talk about cheesecake without it, some sort of crust there. So Rav Moshe said, if the cone, is, you're not interested in eating the cone, and it's not a sugary cone, it's just there to hold it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you just have a food that's only there to hold the other food, then it's functioning like a fork and a spoon, you don't make a bracha on it. So Rav Moshe held, if it wasn't a sugar cone, you don't make a bracha if it's only a wafer cone. Lefi ani is daiti, I know it's breaking new ground over here. It seems to me that was in the days before they offered you a cup. Now, if you go to an ice cream store, every ice cream store offers cups also. So now, if you are not interested in eating the cone, you're going to get a cup. And if you're getting the wafer cone, you're lying. You're getting the cone because you want the cone. So then the bracha would be, Abayim, my name is Zainus on the cone, and then a shahakal on the ice cream. Okay.